just the somewhere to pray to find. They speak the language that say goodbye to Caroline.
All right. It's Sunday, January 22nd, 2012. Almost noon on the Arizona Unique Standard Time Zone. This is Cog Dog with an overdue slice. I was going to try to do these twice a week. And I keep slipping on my slice, slipping on the peels. This should be slice number 7. And I'm behind the wheel, but I'm doing long distance today. I'm headed down the road from Strawberry, Arizona. Right now I'm kind of at the edge of the high point where I go, and taking Highway 260 down towards Cottonwood, and I'm going to hang out a couple hours with my DS-106. Actually, I knew Todd before, DS-106 friend, Todd Conaway. He came up, made a visit to Strawberry last May when Jim Grimes was in, and figured it was time to return the favor, especially since I probably won't be around for a while. The topic of that in a future slice later this week. But things are in motion. Last week, Wednesday, was the first session for the section of DS-106 that I'm teaching at University of Mary Washington. The first 2 weeks, Jim Groom has been kind enough to let me do it at a distance so I can take care of some things here before I get myself to the Eastern time zone. So I kind of gave away some of that. But we met for the first time. Jim had the live video stream set up, which I wasn't expecting, but in the end that turned out to be a good thing. I came in on Skype. The internet connection was a little bit shaky. Could have been my flu-y bandwidth. So we couldn't run my video for a while, so I spoke in audio, but we got through it. And we had, I asked the students to come up and introduce themselves just so I at least can start putting some faces to names, etc. And tried to do the big introduction. Jim does a great job of scaring his students with how intense DS-106 is. And, you know, I laid it on too with things we're going to be expecting from them, a lot of creation and things they're going to be doing, a lot of time spent. They're going to have to set up a domain and a blog site, etc. I'm not going to have the kind of yelling and screaming personality of Jim Groom, because, you know, he does that well. And I have my own act. But so far, over a couple days, I think I've got 11 students I see who have their blog set up, and they're starting to do the Twitter, and we'll be getting to the groove. Monday we'll be going through some more of that stuff, and give them a chance to, for those who don't have their domain and blog set up, to do that and get some help, hopefully from the other students in the class who've done it well. And always, it just kind of that first feel for the Mary Washington students, they're just, there's a lot to respect there with just how open they are to all this new stuff, how they can dive in and figure things out. And that was one thing I picked up and learned when I listened to Jim do his first class. When he tells them, he says, look, you know, you can go to lots of different places to do your hosting. We don't really care where you go. We're not going to give you a really prescriptive set of 1, 2, 3 lessons on how to do this. You're going to have to figure this stuff out. And that is the meta lesson, is for students and everybody to learn that the way through this online space, which is constantly shifting, is getting in that practice of what we call futzing and experimenting. The thing is, when you get stuck, is not to stay mired too long and reach out and get some help, because help is out there. The answer is out there. And they're going to have to learn how to find answers to their technical questions, because the teacher is not always going to be right there to answer it in the moment, nor is the teacher really fully responsible for making sure the students are able to do all this stuff. It's on the students. And I got a sense from that first class that That's the way it's going to happen. And we've got the Daily Create going. I saw a good number of my students had already done them. One of them actually did all 3. I asked them just to do 1, but by Sunday. So, reflection part, I was super nervous going into this. A, because I haven't even taught a classroom class since maybe the mid or late 90s, much less being at a distance, which kind of puts, you know, a layer of complexity on this. And afterwards, Jim informed me, you know, I was both drained and elated, and ever since I've just been really super fired up about having this opportunity and hopefully what's going to be a great semester, not with not just my students, but all the ones, you know. And it's corny to say, cliche to say, that DS-106 is going to a new level, but it is, with the number of people who are using it in different ways. The lieu of interaction is going to be, it's going to be chaotic. There's going to be a lot of content and things flowing in there, and it's going to be even more of a flow than last year. You know, last year, when I was an online participant, you could pretty much kind of track what most people were doing because of the size, the number of people involved, and it was relatively easy. Now there are so many different strands and layers going on. It's going to be interesting to see how that flow pans out. So we've done some things to help, you know, students be able to not be washed out by the flood of stuff. So we set up a separate buddy press for the students in my section. And there's a tag, so all the things that get aggregated into DS-106 from their blogs, there's a URL to get to just to that on the DS-106 site. Just this morning I made a Twitter list for all the Twitter accounts that my students have or will have. About some of those ways to get the students in the mode of not just writing and publishing stuff, but being part, commenting, and even just reading and being aware of what the other students in the class are doing. Coming into this week, we're going to do some stuff on Monday, more of the hands-on stuff, and then we're going to get into a discussion Wednesday of Gardner Campbell's No Digital Facelift talk. I got a few ideas of what I want to do in there. I'm kind of playing off of what I have seen Gardner do so well when he does his new media seminars, where he asks his participants as they're reading, in those cases it's essays, but in this case students will be watching a video, to be aware of and to stop and track when they come across a statement or an idea that really catches their attention or makes them react or makes them disagree or agree. He calls it a nugget, you know, and it's usually a sentence in a text. So I'm going to ask my students to track, you know, when they come across nuggets in Gardner's talk, and record the timestamp of the video that happens. So we have a discussion on Wednesday. I'm going to ask some people as they're talking to start with the nugget and see if I can frame the discussion around that. But it's really fitting because his talk, which was from the Open Ed Conference in 2009. I was there in the room. It was a fantastic talk. I could pick out my cackling laughter in the background. But it was Gardner's notion of a personal cyber infrastructure, or this personal digital dashboard, that he uses the web hosting cPanel. That's really a metaphor. There was some good discussion last year. I got to dig up that blog post by Brad Kauslick at Penn State, who kind of pushed back against the idea of the relevancy of that. It's not cPanel as the dashboard, but as an example of what Gardner was talking about, that you have a lot of tools at your disposal. No, you don't need to read all the books in the library, but you're responsible and you have enough capabilities with these tools, even if you don't know anything about them, to be your own system administrator. And not in the sense of knowing command line Unix and arcane commands, but more or less being responsible for who you are in a digital space. That's exactly what we're doing in this course. Yeah, students are creating digital stories, media, goofy animated posters, but they're really learning how to create, manage, and be part of basically growing and building what is the web, and not just, you know, pulling things off of it or thinking of it as a place just to participate in other people's spaces. That underlying theme of DS106, of coming to be a manager of that digital space, is really happening. And what Gardner was talking about in the talk, you know, was before, you know, Jim had did the course last year, but that is exactly what's happening at DS106 with students. You know, Gardner's experience is working with the faculty when he was at Mary Washington, what he called the Blue Host experiment, where he first played this out. And, you know, we have now a full year of this having gone on, not just at Mary Washington, but with Scott Lockman's class in Tokyo and Michael Barnes Smith classes up in CUNY. That, yeah, it's not a major technical hurdle for a student, for anybody, to buy their own digital license plate, their domain, and create this personal cyber infrastructure. You know, the students get it done in a couple days, and I've always felt this kind of pushback of, oh, it's too complicated, or, oh, I'm not technical. And I think we kind of kowtow to that, I'll call it wimpiness, but whatever you want to call it, too much, and we don't push the bar enough on people, because it is, in my mind, a really important facet of what we do living in this age. We all need to be doing this, and to know, not necessarily in the, you know, completely reclaimed sense that Darcy Norman and Brooke Gorgeous do, of really wanting to get themselves as much as possible off of third-party services, but having that presence, which is our own, which is not dictated by the people we work for or the institution we attend, is really a powerful concept, and I'm anxious to be part of seeing how that plays out now with 24 new students. Some of them obviously have some experience with this, I can tell by the people who quickly set up their blog, but some of them, you know, it was the first time they had done that. And it's going to be great to see how, whoa, just dropped my Bluetooth microphone. It's going to be great to see how they come along. So I got 12 minutes into this bit here. It's been more narration, but I'm coming off of the edge of this Mogollon Rim, and man, this is, I never really tire of this sweeping view as I'm coming down into Camp Verde. Off to my right, I can see the pointed peak of the San Francisco Peaks and Flagstaff. There's definitely snow up there, as it should be, because it's about 10,500 feet. I can see, what's that other peak over there? I don't know if that's Bill Williams Mountain. Another volcanic peak over to my left, Mingus Mountain. Somewhere I'm paralleling the west, was that? Clear Creek. Is it Clear Creek? I'm already forgetting my canyons here. There's a fantastic canyon and perennial creek that runs down from the rim, kind of paralleling where I'm going. There's a really beautiful canyon. Comes out of this place called, is it Bull Run? Bullpen? One of my favorite places when I did hiking back in the old days when I was a little bit more fitly active. In the days now that I think I'm going to get back to somehow, I have lots of dreams of reliving my physically fit past. So the reflective part, teaching, very exciting. The idea of leaving my home in Strawberry, where I've hardly been, it's really sad. I really like it there. It is my space. But I still have this itch to get out and see more things. The 5 months of travel was just a warm-up. And I'm lining things up where I could possibly do some more of that. And actually, for the first time in my adult life, I pretty much know, I've had a plan. You know, I could predict where I would be from now, because I was either, you know, in my undergrad or my graduate school, so I know that, you know, for the next number of years, this is where I'm going to be, or that was my job, working at Maricopa and then at NMC, so it's kind of stable, you know, I got to do a lot within the bounds of that, but I could see ahead where I would be and what I'd be doing, and that's very comforting. And now, it's just up in the air, and it's both exciting and a little bit worrisome, where you don't know where you're going to be living or what you're going to be doing, or you'll have health insurance or whatnot. And, you know, not having necessarily the place that you're in. Although, you know, I have my anchor here. I have a house that I'm going to leave here in Strawberry. I'm just going to close it up. If I need to, I can come back. But I got pretty much once in June when I was on the road after that first day of leaving, where I did feel really sad. Pretty much, I got used to the life of everything I needed is in the back of Red Dog the truck here. And it worked for, you know, 5 months. So that was something that I got out of that experience, that I could do that. I call it nomadic. It's not really as nomadic as just putting your stuff in a backpack and sticking the thumb out on the road. But it is in motion. It is in motion. And I am in motion today, looking forward hanging out and talking to Todd. And I think we're going to do some wine tours down in Cottonwood. Probably didn't know that Arizona's got wineries, but we do. It's one of the mysteries. One of the mysteries of life of Arizona. I guess that's it. I'll just fade out with some music, and that'll be my slice for this week.
River flow.